Sometimes we run out of time for songs, but I know the preaching is the main portion. But I'm glad for good singing. Of course, we from the country, we sang. Amen. And I hadn't forgot about that poor man's supper with some good singing. One of these days, it's going to happen. You say, preacher, ain't nobody stopping it but you. Well, I ain't trying to stop it. Just trying to find a good time to do it. Of course, I'm poor and I like to eat, so I guess I eat a poor man's supper every night. Amen. Praise God. Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter number 1. And I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to read a couple of verses. Of course, we know Isaiah is a major prophet. Thank God Isaiah was the prophet that got the pen down about Christ coming through a virgin's womb. Amen. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. And there's a sign for the Jews, the virgin birth of Christ. But there's a thought I want to pull out, if God will help me. You know, this morning was a tough message, and tonight is a tough message. I'm kind of thankful, Lord, let me preach these two tough messages back to back. And maybe we can get on something easy Wednesday night. Well, I won't say easy, but Anna's rebuking. Amen. But you are, and these preachers, you preachers, if anybody else, please amen this. You ought to get these things firsthand. Amen. All right. Thank you, fellas. I'll pay you out of the service. You got to get these things firsthand and have to repent before you preach. Amen. A lot of sermons that the Lord gives me that I have to say, Lord God, have mercy on me. But the Bible says in chapter 1, verse 1, the vision of Isaiah the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Listen to the verse 2. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. For the Lord hath spoken. All right, you read me now. The Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. Of course, now he's talking about the people of Judah mainly and Jerusalem. He brought up children. We know he's speaking of Abraham and up. And he said, I brought them up. And there's a lot to that phrase. I have brought them up. In other words, he raised them. He supplied for them. He protected them. He made a way for them. He was everything to them. He is speaking of all that he had done for Judah and Jerusalem. And they repaid him by rebelling against him. Some parents, we understand that we see the father and child, the parent and child relationship. Sometimes our children don't do like they were raised to do. There comes a day when they come to the age of accountability, and once they get a certain age. Now, I'm going to say this, and this isn't my message, but the Lord's got it here. You may not like this. You might not agree with this. But, well, they're still in my house, they will do. And that's true. You can enforce your law. And I ain't against that. You understand that? But you can't change their heart about it. If they set their mind to something, their mind is going to be. Now, understand, that don't mean we just compromise everything because they don't want to do it anyhow. Well, that's too bad. Amen. My children can testify to that. And I can testify to that. But however, once I hit a certain age, and I don't know what the age is for everybody. I think it may be different. But they'll get their mindset somewhere, whether it be spiritual or carnal. Whether it be a mindset of honoring God by honoring their parents, or whether it be a mindset of I'm going to do what I want to do, I don't care what my parents think. I'm going to do what I do. We see what Christ is going through, how that he had a law,
He had rules, but he couldn't change their heart. They still rebelled against him. And I want to preach on that subject tonight for a few minutes on rebellion. Rebellion. Rebellion is a strong word. It means disobedience, to revolt, to break away from, basically to go against God's law and his authority. The word itself is found in the Old Testament, and most of the time it shows up in relation to Judah, God's people. So I'm not going to talk about or preach about the rebellion in relation to the world. They're doing what they know to do. We're not talking about rebellion in the world, but we're going to preach about rebellion in relation to God's people. Judah and Jerusalem, they knew what God required, but they still rebelled. They still disobeyed. They still revolted. They still broke away from it. They still went against God's law and God's authority. They went against it. As we know what God requires of us as to our service and our separation and our sincerity, but yet sometimes we still rebel. We still disobey. We still revolt. We still break away from. We basically go against God's law and God's authority. Now again, I'm not preaching that we are under the dispensation of the law. I know we are under grace. But as Paul explained, do I continue in sin that grace may abound? And he said, God forbid. See, I understand we're saved by grace, kept by grace, and thank God for grace. But yet that does not omit our responsibility as a child of God. So, when we know what God requires and choose to do the opposite, we are living a life of rebellion. Let me say that again. So when we know what God requires and choose to do the opposite, we are living a life of rebellion. We sugarcoat our disobedience. Right. Folks, if you can live in, you can disobey and live a life of disobedience as a child of God, or just disobey here and there, and the Holy Spirit of God not be grieved, and you cry like Paul, oh, wretched man that I am. If that's not there, something else is not there. That's the Spirit of God. That's the Holy Spirit of God. Sometimes I'll say, Lord, why do you even fool with me? Oh, wretched man that I cry that sometimes in my own spirit. I get frustrated. Paul did in Romans 7. See, God's people are daily at war with their flesh and sin. We're at war with it. We don't like it. We don't want that in our life. We don't want to be a part of that. We want to walk in the Spirit. We want to walk full of the Holy Ghost. We want to have the power of God in our life. We want to live an obedient life. And when we do fail Him, it bothers us. I don't want to live in rebellion. In my study of rebellion, I found out really one simple sermon ain't going to get it done as far as all that needs to be talked about. But yet, here we are with one sermon. And these are simple things about rebellion that I want to share with you tonight. And I hope me and you, all of us that are saved, will take it to heart. Not just passing time, and I realize it's almost about 18 minutes till 7, and the time change, we're sleepy, but praise God, it's daylight. I'm saying let's vote to leave it alone. But nobody cares what my vote is. But here we are tonight, and we need to take this thought to heart. Now, simply, here's some simple. I have four things tonight. One, two, three. That shouldn't take long. And they're very simple things. Number one, y'all ready? This is theologically so deep. Rebellion is sin. That go over anybody's head? No, the only way it went over your head, you didn't hear me. Rebellion is sin. Okay, let's take another step. According to the text, rebellion is sin against God. Huh? You remember in that penance psalm 51 and also about 32 where David's repenting of his what? Rebellion. He said to God, against thee and thee only have I sinned. David knew what God required, and he revolted, he disobeyed, he broke away from it, he went against it and done what he wanted to do. And he found out what the end result of sin was. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse number 27, the Bible says this, "For I know," this is the Lord speaking to these people, "for I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck. You have been rebellious against the Lord." Now again, it's amazing how rebellion and stiff-necked comes in. Folks, that was a word the Lord called his people Israel. He called them in other places, and even Paul referred to it to the church, he called them stiff-necked people. In other words, they were in sin, knew they were in sin, but they didn't care. They done got plumb stiff-necked about it. They done got callous to it. And the Lord said, "You have been rebellious against the Lord." Judah rebelled against God in a twofold way. Now get this. And this is how we'll rebel. Number one, they rebelled against God's law. We understand. Been saying that since the few minutes I've started preaching. They rebelled against God's law. Then they rebelled against God's leadership. Moses. I want to say something to you preachers. One day you're going to be pastoring churches. You hear me? An older preacher posted this the other day to young preachers. And I said amen to it because I've been in it long enough to know is this. It only takes one situation, one, to get those that once were for you, stood for you, back what was going on, one situation for them to turn their back on it. You young people, hear me. I mean, you young preachers, hear me. Now, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say this. They rebel against this before they do you. Israel, Judah, did that very thing. They rebelled against God's law. Then they rebelled against God's leadership. That's what they did. Their heart was against God's word. And of course, then it automatically becomes against God's man. Right. Let that soak in a minute. You begin to hear things like this when they cannot take that Bible and say you preach something wrong. Then they go to your attitude was wrong when you preached it. Your spirit wasn't right when you preach. They're going to give an okay somehow in their own mind to how they rebel against God's word and then God's leadership. That's exactly what Israel did. They got against God's law. They didn't like God's law. And God's law, and folks, even in those days, he said it wasn't grievous. I understand that we can't be saved by the law. The law shows us we need to be saved. But yet they rebelled against what God asked for them, what God expected for them. And to be stiff-necked about it, they had to become enemies with Moses. See, let's don't be critical, so critical of Moses and saying, well, his crowd died in the wilderness. They did. But Joshua, he led the children of Israel on into the promised land. Hey, different generation. That generation that rebelled against God's word and God's man, they all died in the wilderness. The Bible said they did. And so that's where a lot of people, they content. They're rebellious and they're stiff-necked and they just soon wander around in the world. Oh, I'm a child of God, but I don't want to get any closer. I don't want to go any farther. I like my carnality. I like my worldliness. I like walking just as close to the ungodly as I can. Then they rebel against this book. Then they're going to rebel against God's man. Young preachers, you better be ready. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. But praise God, not everybody will. There's some going to want the word. And they're going to appreciate it. So, rebellion is sin. Number two, rebellion is shameful. Look at verse 2. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. Get that. The Lord hath spoken. Moses, Aaron, none of them were preaching or saying anything on their own accord. What they were given was what God said. The Lord spoke. I have nourished, man, look, nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. Folks, I know I didn't preach this, but that is shameful. Shame on Judah. Nourished and brought them up, took care of them, supplied, give them security, give them everything they ever could need or even want, put a hedge around them and nourished them up, brought them up, and they rebel. Folks, it's shameful after knowing all that God's done for us that we would rebel. It's shameful. It is shameful. Folks, sometimes I say, Tommy, you ought to be ashamed. You ought to be ashamed. I've told y'all this many times. I was saved young. You young Christians, y'all listen to me just a second. Because, of course, I was younger than some of y'all was when I got saved. I got saved August of 83 before I went into the eighth grade. I was 13. My birthday was early. And so the Lord hung me out over hell. Man, I was under conviction. I got saved. And we went back to school a couple of weeks after I got saved. And man, I just let peer pressure. I mean, again, I done it. Are you with me? And I was a secret Christian. And boy, have I reaped what I sowed over the years for it. Bad lifestyle as a Christian going in through high school. See, young people, let me tell you something. If you can live it, say you're a Christian and live like that and God not chasing you, something's missing. Oh, how I got carried to the woodshed. Oh, how I got whipped. And it wasn't until I was 19 when I rededicated my life and God put me in the right place by myself. By myself. And maybe some of the folks I went to high school with watching right now. I know some of them do. I apologize to you. Folks, I had Christians in high school that didn't know I was saved. They doubted my saved. If I told them I was saved, they would say, well, I don't see that. It's shameful. It was shameful. God put me in a place all by myself. And I won't go into all that. Y'all done heard it 1,000 times or more. God began to work in my heart. people I went to high school with said, he's just preaching because his father-in-law is a preacher. I'm going to tell you something. I love my father-in-law, but he'd take a whole lot more of Tim Walford to make me preach. I never will forget. God was dealing with me to preach. I'd got my heart right, and God started dealing with me to preach, and I was over there one day, and man, I was all to pieces, and I said, I need to talk to you outside. And now as a daddy, I look back on it and said, man, I bet you he didn't know what I was going to say. And he was looking rough at me because I was shaking and eyes puddling up. And he's looking at me like, oh, my Lord, am I going to kill him here? I can't drag him nowhere. He's too big. And I said, I think God's calling me to preach. And he has such a relief, he just busted out laughing. He stood there laughing at me, and I'm standing there boo-hooing, and he's laughing. Now I'm wanting to kill him. But he's so big, I couldn't drag him off nowhere. I remember Perry and Jeff McIntyre, and there was somebody else, Daniel came to hear me preach at a church I was preaching at on Sunday morning. The pastor had surgery. And when I came out, they were sitting there, and the Spirit of God would not let me preach until I publicly apologized to them for not being an example and a witness. Several years later, Perry called me and said, I just need to know one thing. What did you do? He said, we was a lot worse than you was. I said, well, you know what? He said, good Lord. I said, but it was rebellion. I was living in rebellion. And it's shameful. God didn't have to save my parents when I was 2 or 3 years old. My daddy drank alcohol about every day of his life and was wild. And God didn't have to save him. God didn't have to give a preacher a backbone to stand in his face and give him the gospel over and over and over and over. And the Holy Ghost of God deal with his heart over and over and over and over and save my parents. And in October, I believe it was, of 1972. And I don't remember any other lifestyle than church. We didn't have a perfect family. We were still turners. We didn't have a perfect family, but they were saved. We went to the house of God, put me under the gospel. He didn't have to give me that benefit. Some of you didn't have that benefit. When much is given, much is expected. He didn't have to keep me safe and nourish me and help me, call me and give me what? Hey, allow me to pastor. Hey, he didn't have to, but he did. And boy, it's shameful. Look at all that God's done for you. He saved you. He's brought you out. He's taken care of you. He supplied your need. And we sit around in rebellion. It's shameful. It's shameful. It's shameful. Oh, God, have mercy. Folks, I probably failed God more since I've been saved. Some of y'all ain't wanting to hear that. Y'all so spiritual. That's why, man, hey, I'm going to keep short of counsel with God. I don't want nothing to linger in my heart. Rebellion is sin. Rebellion is shameful. Rebellion is serious. God doesn't take it lightly. When we outright rebel against him, we can see just how serious God takes rebellion in three ways. The likeness of rebellion. Do you understand in the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel 15:23, what God likens rebellion to? Witchcraft. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft because Satan is the master rebellion. He rebelled against God. And God sent him packing. The likeness of rebellion, the law of rebellion. God told Joshua in Joshua 1, God told him, said, put those that are in rebellion to death. What he said. I could read you verses the lives of rebellion, the law of rebellion, the likeness of rebellion. I could read you text and verses in the Bible, but I'm not taking time. My time is gone. Where God tells, and you better thank God we're in grace, where he's told parents to stone their rebellious children. Well, I'm thankful because the temper my daddy had, I'd have been stoned a long time ago. And most of us better thank God for mamas. Kept us, kept daddies from killing us in our days of rebellion. See, dads are the head of the home, but mama's the heart of the home. Amen. Dad might be biblically the head of the home in position and authority, but mama's the heart of the home. And if you ain't, if your home isn't that way, it's not balanced. It's not balanced. Rebellion is serious. God took it serious when his people rebelled against him after. And again, the Lord is having to bring back to their mind how he nourished them and how he brought them up. How he took care of them. How he did all these things for him and had to remind them. Folks, sometimes it'd be good for you and me to remind ourselves what God's done for us. And I'm not trying to, of course, I've got messages on the phone, quit preaching and making everything about you. And you know what? I appreciate that because I don't want to do that. I don't mean to do that, but I don't know. Give me some of y'all's stories. I'll tell them. They're probably better than mine. Write down some of y'all's, what God's brought y'all from. I'm going to say, amen. The Lord's brought Jonathan. Wes. But God brought us through some hard times. My mother suffered with cancer. God took her home. My wife had cancer. God raised her up. My daughter-in-law had cancer. God took her home. That's just in our family in the past since 96. Then God just called my daddy home. Poof. Gone. Gone. Get a phone call. Gone. He's gone. My mother was 49 years old. Kelly was 38 years old. My dad was 63 years old. But he was faithful. God was faithful. The dying grace, not only for the one that dies, but also for the family, is truly a remarkable thing. It's truly, folks, I said it, I keep saying it, man, I preach God's grace being sufficient, but man, when you get to live it and see it being sufficient, even in the hardest days of our life, God has been there. He's not tucked his tail and ran. He's not left me. He's not left you. It's a shame for us to rebel against him. It's a shame. It's a shame. It's serious. I'll give you this last one. Rebellion should be smothered out of our lives. You listening to me? How you do that? Confess that there is rebellion in your heart. I'm not going to take time to turn to Lamentations chapter 1, verse 18 through 20, but the penman, which I think it is Jeremiah, if I'm wrong, forgive me, he's repenting of rebellion in his life. Confess that there is. You want to smother it out of your life, confess it. Well, preacher, I don't really think I'm rebellious. Rebellion, disobedience, to revolt or to break away from, basically to go against God's law and authority. That's what rebellion is. And the Bible says it is as of the sin of witchcraft. Confess it. Then call on the Lord. Nehemiah did. Chapter 1, about verse 5 and 6. I've got a bunch of verses I could read, but I'm not going to read them. Children of God, Christians, is there any rebellion? Now, I'm not talking about you committed a sin and you dealt with that sin promptly. you took care. But if there's something you allow them to linger, you know what God said about it. But you're not going to deal with it. You remember when Israel, they'd finally try to get close to God, but there were certain things they would not destroy. They kept them there at arm's length. They kept them there close. And it always come back to bite them, because technically they were still in rebellion. Folks, they had to get rid of everything that went against God. They couldn't keep anything there. Well, we're not going to destroy the groves or the places where they offered idols, sacrifices to idols. We just ain't going to sacrifice to idols. We're going to keep the groves. In other words, just in case we go back to it, they'll be there. They've had a bad day, I can go up there and enjoy that. Some of the kings came back, not only destroyed the groves, but destroyed the demonic preachers that were doing it. Destroyed everything. Folks, there's a spiritual picture there. Of course, I'm not preaching to go do that to somebody. I'm talking about in your own life. Kill it. In your own heart, kill it. Ask God to kill it. Don't just keep some trinkets around where you can easily get them back if you're having a bad day. It's my parents would say, an old timer would say, just get shed of them. My northern brethren, get rid of them. I understand sometimes it's hard to figure out what us country people say, because you can't find it in a dictionary or how that word is used in a dictionary. Shed's in a dictionary, but that's something you put over your head, right? Shed. They say, you better get shed of that. Better get shed of that. Anybody else ever heard that? Yeah. Lord, please, I felt like I moved up to Ohio somewhere. Amen. Rebellion. I don't want it in my life. I got to deal with it. Because this old flesh is bent to sin. You got to deal with it. You got to be conscious of it every day. Lord, I don't want to be in rebellion today. Give me grace to walk in obedience. God help us. Let's all stand. Court's coming. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The altar's open if you need to come. That's